Yeah, wow, there's so much like fuzz and noise in the background. That's insane. I wonder why. I can denoise it. It won't sound great, but it'll be usable.
I mean, don't we have an episode of Jordan in a barrel?
Yeah, Jordan has recorded several episodes from the bottom of a well. I mean, if we let him out of the well, he's never going to come back for another episode. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. All right. Should we sync up?
All right.
3, 2, 1, clap. Maybe if I like turn them. No, but it's really not up that high. I'll worry about it later.
You'll make it work.
I probably won't. I'll probably ruin Alan John's day and make it work.
Yeah, it's not like he's moderating anything.
Oh, shit. Dude, you forgot we're recording. I'm going to leave that in, bro.
Okay, do it.
All right, fine. Start some feud between you and Alan John.
Yeah, man. Feud. This is payback for the typo he did. I'm just going to be petty about that for the rest of my life.
You should be, bro. You ruined it. So if anyone doesn't know what Chari's talking about there, that typo, we need to issue a massive, massive correction from last week's episode when we discussed the Aether SX2 or XS. I can't remember which one is actually right because Alan John has poisoned my mind with his bad typos and misinformation. So we brought on the expert, our chief news editor, Chari, to tell us all about that. Can you correct? I should mention, we didn't really introduce the show. We kind of stumbled into it this week. It's just me and Chari this week. Alan John, Eric, and Jordan recorded last week. And Eric had COVID and infected them all with it. So now they're all homesick with COVID. So it's just us this week. So, Chari, can you please set the record straight on Aether SX2?
Of course. Aether SX2, please remember it, because it's just like PC SX2 is a new PS2 emulator, which we all knew already. But what we didn't know is where did this emulator come from and what caused its creation? Because we know that a previous Android PS2 emulator, which was Daemon PS2, came out, totally stole all of the code for PC SX2 and then sold it for money. Which technically isn't illegal, but it was totally breaking a bunch of GPL stuff. So one of the PCSX2 devs wanted to set the record straight because they got in touch with the Aether dude. And they basically wanted to make an announcement saying, hey guys, this emulator's actually all good. There's no shady crap going on. So where Daemon PS2 didn't license any of its code and was just a GPL mess of nightmare, the PCSX2 guys got in contact with the Aether guys and cleared everything, making sure that it all worked out. And while it stands, there is an issue with one of the aspects of it. By the time that Aether SX2 comes out of beta, it's going to be totally ironed out. So you don't have to worry about it if you're one of those types of people that are like, oh no, I can't use this because it's not morally acceptable. Even the PCSX2 guys are saying, this emulator's great.
I did like the way you condescendingly referred to people with mortal codes. Like, you're one of those people.
Yeah, man, when I'm pirating my games, it's got to be all above board. I got to make sure I'm morally pirating correctly.
Nobody said anything about pirating games.
Oh, yeah, this is all legal. Backups, I'm sorry. But I do appreciate that they did that. Like, that's pretty cool. Especially when it all came out of nowhere, because this dude just showed up one day and was like, I have a PS2 emulator. It's totally legit.
Yeah, it seems sketchy, right?
Yeah, so now we know that it's not going to sell all our Android phone data to weird China.
Excellent.
Yeah, good bit of positivity for once in the emulation scene. But another good bit of positivity is that after 2 whole years, the Ocarina of Time decompilation project is done.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so the Zelda, they call themselves the Zelda Reverse Engineering Team, so can't wonder what they do. They basically did the exact same thing as what we've already seen before done with Super Mario 64, is that they took the game and they completely reverse engineered it without looking at any, like, actual source code from the game itself. They redid it from the ground up, so it's all supposedly legal. And I mean, I don't know, we don't have our legal expert on hand this time, but We know that the Super Mario 64 decompilation project is still on GitHub, and it hasn't been taken down, so presumably this one's still safe, too.
Presumably. What about the things people have done with that code? Because I know after it was decompiled, we started to see the Android ports, the Switch ports, the enhanced PC ports, all that kind of stuff. Are they still up, or...?
I think Nintendo went after the PC port. I'm unsure. I think the PC and Switch port they went after. I mean, how vicious Nintendo can be, I wouldn't be surprised if they went after all of them. But for some reason, right. The source code's fine, but the projects made with it are not.
Is it a thing? Like, I know with a lot of those ones, you have to get, like, the decompiler, and then there'll be, like, some code, like, you know, whatever the modifications and enhancements are, and then, like, you'll have to provide a ROM, and it'll kind of compile all of it together? Is it a situation like that, maybe, where, like... Maybe if anyone was providing the ROM, they took it down, but if you provided your own ROM, then it was fine?
I want to say that the Super Mario 64 Plus that came out on PC required the ROM in there.
Okay.
But it made use of the decompilation project, which spawned the PC port, which spawned the mod pack.
Right, right. Okay, yeah. Either way, we'll probably start seeing projects for Ocarina of Time similar to what we saw with Mario 64, right? Like, we'll see all these ports, and I think particularly we'll probably see the enhanced ports as well, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, and I think this one needed it a lot more than Mario 64.
Yeah.
Because that game still feels a little timeless, and I mean, it's still smooth. Ocarina, I think, is an amazing game, but... It does. It's like capped at 20 FPS.
Yeah. It also kind of runs into the issue where the 3DS port is generally better, but, you know, it's kind of stuck on the 3DS. I mean, you can emulate it, but emulating stuff, the 3DS stuff especially, can be a little weird. And, you know, it's not necessarily a system. Not everyone wants to play it on a tiny little handheld, right? So.
Yeah. And I think what's cool is that you could probably, assuming you could, because I've seen texture packs for Mario 64... is that you could rip all the assets from the 3DS version and just put them all over this supposed PC port that'll come out, though I think that would actually be probably illegal because that's using the assets. But, you know, someone's going to do it anyway.
I would like to play that game again. I haven't played it in ages, and it would be cool to play, like, an enhanced port, especially on the Switch or something, since for some reason Nintendo went on a mad, like, Zelda remake spree for a while and then stopped when they got to the Switch.
Yeah.
Actually, that's not true. They did Link's Awakening, I guess, but...
They did Link's Awakening and Skyward HD.
Oh, you're right, actually. They've done quite a few. But still, like, Wind Waker and the N64 games and Twilight Princess are all trapped on the Wii U. Or, well, Wii U and 3DS, sorry.
Yeah. Weird thing to strand something on the Wii U. Of all the ports that they're bringing from the Wii U to the Switch, you're just going to strand, like, two of the biggest Zelda games. And, I mean, it's funny because, again, we're just going to see... with the Nintendo Switch Online, and I'm sure that's going to come with Ocarina, is that we're going to see, like, official Nintendo version on the Switch versus the fans, which are going to have, like, widescreen and 60 FPS and better frame pacing and whatever.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the Mario 3D All-Stars thing could not have been better timed, really.
Oh, yeah, that was awkward.
Yeah. Awkward Arena of Time. That's getting cut, so don't laugh at that. That was awful.
Oh, you tried. Except for I don't think you did.
No, I didn't at all. You know who did try and put in a lot of effort into their work are the people who remade the Space World 97 demo for Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, man. Not even one Ocarina project, but two.
Yeah, so can you tell me more about that one? That's not one I know a ton about.
So, you've seen the...
unlike the other two stories I had you explain to me.
I've never talked so much in my life. So, I assume you've seen, like, the Giga leaks that have been going around the internet?
Of course. We've talked about at least one or two of them on the podcast.
So, basically, in some of those were some footage and some beta builds of Ocarina. And at Space World 97, there was a lot of stuff being shown for the N64. I'm pretty sure... Mother 3 on the N64 was shown there, which ended up getting canceled, obviously. And then, of course, Ocarina wasn't released yet, so there was some cool beta footage of that. And a lot of stuff in that beta did not make it to the final release. So basically what it does is that it recreates that demo in a full playable experience, which is kind of cool. I mean, you know, people love to trawl through beta files and understand every little last aspect of a working video game that didn't make it to the final cut.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was basically just like a recreation of this one particular little demo that people took an interest in, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's pretty interesting. That's cool.
Yeah, to find the breadcrumbs of, like, one of the most famous games of all time, you know? That's kind of neat.
Yeah, I mean, I guess people are so obsessed with Ocarina of Time that I can see people taking an interest in even these, like, weird little oddities.
Right.
I'm not that big of an Ocarina fan, but, like, there are probably games out there that I would be interested in seeing.
Imagine if there was, like, a Metal Gear Solid 1 beta.
Ooh, you know what? I would be all over that. There's footage of it. Me and you watched it one time.
Oh, yeah.
Do you never remember that with the weird different UI and everything?
You're right.
Yeah.
See, now, wouldn't that be cool to see what that was? Although, I guess it was mostly just UI elements because the whole maps were all the same.
Yeah, I think the maps were basically the same.
I know when I was a kid, I used to have I'd bring a USB stick of games to play on computer lab in my computer class in middle school.
Nice.
And on the USB stick were all the dumped prototypes for Sonic 2 at the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but there was like 8 different ones of them. And they all had little different aspects. And you could like see the game being built. Like in the first one, it was called Green Hill Zone because it was just the same level from the first game. Then in the next beta, you could see they renamed it to Emerald Hill. And just like to see all the little... I could see if you're really invested in it, it'd be fun to see how the developer started piecing everything together.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, just for me, Ocarina's not one of those games.
Did your computer lab in school have, like, emulators installed on them?
Oh, no, I had the USB with just, like,
it had, like, a portable version of the emulator?
Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of awesome, actually.
Please don't sue my middle school.
Oh, my. I don't have a good transition to the next topic. Did you hear that Kojima Productions is opening up an LA movie studio?
Whoa, that's cool.
So basically, Kojima Productions is Hideo Kojima's company after he got fired from Konami. And they announced this last week that they're going to open up a new division in LA. It's not Kojima Productions LA, which was an old, you know, production company he had. It's just a new division of the current one. And it just says, it's very vague right now. It just kind of says they're going to be working with creative and talented professionals in television, music, and film, as well as the more familiar games industry, is what the guy heading up the division said. His name's Riley Russell. He's a former chief legal officer for Sony.
Oh, wow.
And then, yeah, they're just... it's very vague. He just kind of gives, like... PR speak, like, you know, the team is going to expand the reach and awareness of properties and development at Kojima Productions and make them even more part of our popular culture. But it's still kind of interesting and exciting just because Hideo Kojima is he has such a clear, like, interest and passion for movies and TV, and his games are, you know, he's pretty well renowned for helping advance cinematics and video games. So seeing what he does in a more traditional film space is kind of interesting, I think. I'd be curious to see what he does.
Yeah, I definitely want to see what comes of that. I mean, very vague. The whole press release is just like, we're gonna do a thing. But I mean... You could put Kojima's name on anything and I'd have some sort of interest in what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. Like, even, like, I played Death Stranding and didn't like it. And then they came out with the director's cut and I'm like, God, I really should replay Death Stranding. Like, just because it's Kojima involved. They also, like, they haven't announced any projects they're working on. And they haven't specifically even said Kojima will be working on projects there, but... I mean, presumably he'll have some form of input or oversight, even if he's not working directly as a creative lead on any project.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. And he does also have some connections in Hollywood, it seems. He had, you know, quite a few name actors in Death Stranding. He had Kiefer Sutherland in Metal Gear Solid 5. He has connections to A.V. Arad, who's a producer on all the Marvel movies. So, like, he can get talent involved in his projects, and he has, even if he's just, you know, curating and selecting projects and helping develop them, like, you know, providing funding or support or attaching names to interesting projects. I trust the guy's instincts. He could probably do interesting stuff with this, right? Like, even if it's, you know, even if this doesn't produce a Hideo Kojima movie, I think he would be a good movie producer for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of possibilities that it could come up with. And they don't even have to be based on games. Like, just original properties on anything could be interesting to see.
Yeah, exactly. For sure.
So as much as Kojima likes movies, Capcom likes remakes. We just saw them release the VR version of Resident Evil 4. And I guess that's not even going to be the only RE4 coming out. Because they're apparently working on a more kind of traditional remake you'd think of when you think of a video game remake, not a VR version, but just like the other two that they've remade.
Three, because they did 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, I thought the one was just like an HD version of the GameCube one.
Well, the GameCube one was a remake because there was the PS1 version, and then the GameCube one changed around like the layout of the mansion. It changed puzzles. I believe it changed dialogue. It certainly changed the voice actors, stuff like that.
Tragically.
I know, right?
But, considering the voice actors, the guy that plays Wesker, his name is DC Douglas. He was on social media and just kind of teasing that he's working on a Resident Evil 4 remake, voicing Wesker. And he even had some concept art, supposedly, that he was sharing to people. And he was like, LOL, don't share this with anyone else. I could get sued.
So wait, but he was putting it on social media?
Yeah, he was texting it to people.
Oh, like private?
Yeah. He wasn't putting it directly publicly, but he was just teasing people with it, being like, haha, I could get sued, so don't out me. And then someone did.
So who was he messaging? Just random people, or?
They're cut out of the screenshots.
Okay.
It just shows someone named DC Douglas presumably texting someone with no responses, but they're just saying, topical, again, don't share this, I could get sued. And then it's an image of Wesker from concept art at Capcom.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it looks like an iMessage. Yeah, it looks so, you're right, probably just texting somebody.
I mean, you'd think someone that's been with Capcom and voicing games for Resident Evil for so long wouldn't just go like that and be like, haha, here's this illegal thing I'm doing.
So, definitely not confirmed, but it's interesting. It's, I mean, the concept art looks interesting, and I wouldn't be surprised if they did decide to remake Resident Evil 4, right?
Right. I mean, this is the biggest thing that no one could have ever guessed in the history of humanity, is that Capcom wanted to remake another Resident Evil.
Especially the one that they already port to every single console in existence, right? Like,
yeah, like arguably their biggest Resident Evil game.
I don't think it's even arguable. I think 4 is absolutely their biggest Resident Evil game. And that's why I'm a little disappointed it's getting remade next, because there's so many better candidates, I think, because 4 still holds up. I played it not that long ago, and I mean, maybe here or there, there are little things that are outdated, but it holds up fine. I would rather see a remake of probably Code Veronica, or maybe 0, but like, Code Veronica, I think, hasn't been, I don't think even the HD version was ported to everything, and it's, you know, it's another one of the older, what do they call them, tank control games, like, which, like, those are the ones that I think probably need to be remade the most. They're the ones that people are very reticent to go back to, so.
Yeah, because didn't Code Veronica come out on the Dreamcast?
Yeah, came out on the Dreamcast, and then it didn't get an HD version until the 360 and PS3. And I don't know if that even ever went to the PS4 or Xbox One.
Yeah, because like, if I wanted to play Resident Evil 4, I could right this second on my PlayStation 5.
Or your PlayStation 4, or your PlayStation 3, or your PlayStation 2, or your Xbox 360, or your Xbox One, or your Xbox Series S, or your PC, or your Switch, or your phone.
Exactly.
Or your GameCube, or your Wii. You have a lot of options, is what I'm saying. Yeah, whereas, yeah, I just looked it up. Code Veronica went Dreamcast. Oh, it was on the PS2 and the GameCube, and then the HD version on the PS3 and 360, but even the HD version didn't get moved on to the generation afterwards.
That's really weird. You'd think it'd just be an easy copy and paste on the next gen.
Yeah, well, it's weird because, like, the Resident Evil 1 and Resident Evil 0 HD versions did get ported forward.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess because they're not, like, a numbered game, I don't know. Did they not sell as well?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Let me look it up.
Because, I mean, I'm not a Resident Evil fan, but even I'm vaguely aware of Zero and Code Veronica.
The sales were weak compared to series predecessors, but strong compared to other Dreamcast games.
Okay, yeah, that makes more sense. Because, I mean, how many people had a Dreamcast? It was like, oh, it was the highest selling Dreamcast game of its time. Yeah, between what? Sega Bass Fishing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I don't know enough about the Resident Evil series to know like if it's important to the lore or not, but either way, this doesn't seem like there's much reason not to port it, right?
Right, although I think the reason that they're doing 4 is because they know it'll just print money. They don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the remake of 3 didn't do as well as they wanted, so they need to switch things up a little bit more.
Because
when they remade 2 and 3, my thought was that they were trying to like modernize the ones that are a little bit more off-putting to people, like Code Veronica and 0 and 2 and 3 and stuff, but there was no easy way to play those games.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought, because I thought both of those were like locked to the PlayStation 1.
Yeah, 2 and 3 never got a re-release or even an HD version. Like, they, well, no, that's not true. They went to the GameCube, but I think that's it. And Resident Evil 2 was on the N64, but like, they never went to the PS3 or 360 or anything.
Right. I mean, those were smart remakes. I mean, maybe they'll go back to them, but if they're going in order, I mean, I don't know. They skipped 1 technically because it already had an older remake.
Yeah, but they at least did
the HD.
Like, they've done the HD versions of those. Yeah, exactly. It's a really odd decision. It's one that's kind of disappointing, but it's still also unconfirmed. And I mean, maybe they're working on more than one remake at a time because they did pump out that Resident Evil 3 remake pretty quick.
Yeah. I wonder if 2 different studios worked on them.
Yeah, possibly.
Well, they just say mainline Capcom. Not even like a branch of Capcom.
Mm, weird. Either way, I don't know. I do love Resident Evil 4. I'm happy to play it again. I'm sure I'll end up playing that remake, but it's a little disappointing. I would have liked to see something else.
I can't wait till they remake 5.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I do wonder what they're going to do, because generally these remakes have been taking the tank control games and putting them in the over-the-shoulder style, which started with Resident Evil 4, so I wonder, like, will they make it a first-person game like the newer ones? Or because, I mean, Resident Evil Village was basically already Resident Evil 4 in the first-person style.
Yeah, I could see them going back and doing, like, a first-person kind of... But I would see that more as like a game mode rather than like a whole specific remake.
Yeah. I wonder what they would add to a remake of 4.
I'll only be interested in it if it says if the name of the game is Resident Evil 4 HD HD. That's all I'm looking for.
Yeah, speaking of games kind of being improved and updated and everything, Cyberpunk is actually doing well lately. The new user reviews on Steam after it got a half-price sale on the autumn sale. They're up all the way up to very positive on Steam user reviews. And I think the overall rating is up to mostly positive, which is a huge jump from where it was last year when it came out. Yeah, and apparently it's, you know, it's not totally fixed, but it's pretty... Apparently it's pretty good now. The one of the leads, the quest director, was on Twitter saying, you know, just like it means so much to him that people have finally come around on the game. And, you know, he was overwhelmed. Apparently it's gotten 15,000 very positive reviews in the last couple of days.
Wow.
Actually, according to an article here from PC Gamer, the number's risen to just a hair under 20,000.
That's crazy. That's a lot of people picking up the game.
It really is. Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, it was such a high-profile game, and then when you see it half off, you probably think, hey, you know what, I'll give it a shot, whatever. And apparently, it's really, really good now. Like, I reviewed the game when it came out, and I never had a ton of technical issues, and I still wasn't crazy about the game. I liked it, but I didn't, you know, think there was anything amazing in there, but I'm glad people are enjoying it, finally. I don't know how much this applies to the console versions. I know the PS4, when you look at it on PSN, it still tells you that it doesn't offer a very good experience on the base PS4, and you should play it on the Pro or PS5.
That's awkward.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of, I could see it being like a No Man's Sky situation where it's like the laughing stock and then you give it a year or two and then people are like, oh, okay, it's actually pretty good. I mean, it's at a bargain bin price. It's $9.99 at GameStop right now, which is kind of ridiculous for a game that's, is it even a year old?
No, came out, I believe, in December. I'll double check, but
I mean, come on, $9 for what is one of the biggest games going on right now. It's worth it just to see what's going on. And I mean, if it runs better, if it's actually playable, then yeah, why not? CD Projekt Red is a competent developer sometimes.
It came out on the 10th of December, less than a year old, discounted $50 off. Yeah, that's a lot.
I mean, I can't even think of when I've seen that happen with a game that isn't like NBA 2K whatever, you know?
Yeah, and only when 2K whatever and 1 replaces it, right? Like, yeah, it's I mean, it's a good story. I feel like it's not as dramatic as like a No Man's Sky thing, because I think No Man's Sky added in a lot of content, right? Their issue wasn't technical problems as much. So like bug fixes are never going to draw that much attention, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm happy for it to turn around.
Yeah, the developer, he was like, I'm so moved. You don't know how much this means to me. Like, that's always sweet to see.
Yeah, that's cute. How do we move on to the thing?
How do you even get into this kind of topic?
I don't know. You can just do a blunt transition. So again, the last thing we're going to talk about.
Yeah. So, mobile gaming.
Smooth, bro. Smooth as fucking silk.
Dude, I'm amazing. Have you ever seen a DualShock, but have you ever wanted a DualShock 4, but it's cut in half, and then also it's weirdly elongated? Because that's what Sony just patented.
That sounds really disturbing.
It will be in my nightmares when I sleep. I assure you.
So this is a new controller thing that Sony just patented, right? And it's like one of those mobile phone controllers, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like the GameStar or the Kishi where it looks like you just dock it in the middle.
Yeah, but it's a really weird patent image that's out there because I'll try to describe it, but like I think because it's something so recognizable, like the DualShock, the PlayStation controller is very immediately recognizable and familiar. And this one, it just is like cut in half, like you said, and then just like with this long thing in the middle. It's like if the PS4 touchpad was like, you know, 6 or 7 inches long, basically. I don't know why it looks so weird to me, but it really does. And I wonder how comfortable it would be to carry around, because like the Kishi has a pretty rounded design. It's kind of edged off like the edge of a phone, that like, you know, rectangle with rounded edges thing, whereas this is a full DualShock with like the big paddles on the bottom to grip it and everything, right? I feel like it would be awkward to like shove into your pocket with its giant control sticks and triggers and
yeah, because even if it's telescoping, like the side they come to meet in the middle, that's, you're still shoving an entire DualShock in your pocket.
Yeah, or your bag or whatever, right? Like
it can't possibly fold up.
No, it can't.
And also, why the DualShock? Haven't they moved on to the DualSense?
Yeah, I mean, is the DualSense any different than the DualShock? They're kind of the same thing, aren't they?
No, but you'd think just for the sake of branding and marketing that it's literally a PlayStation 4 controller. Like, they didn't even make it look like the DualSense or anything. They just drew a long DualShock. It's very unsettling. I don't know why it creeps me out. I don't like it.
Yeah, it's a little weird, but it's also an odd thing because I don't know why you need it exactly, right? Like, I know Sony announced not too long ago that they're going to start bringing more of their franchises to mobile, but I mean, they're already, you know, you can attach your phone to any Bluetooth controller. There's already stuff like the Razer Kishi out there, and it's fairly niche, I think. It's not like you see these in electronics stores and stuff. I think, you know, you need to go digging for them.
Yeah, and the whole stupid part of it is that you could see this kind of being useful for remote play.
Yeah.
But as it stands, if you try to use something like the Kishi with PlayStation remote play, it won't work. It has to be a Bluetooth DualShock 4 or a controller that's connected specifically. Whatever it is, the Kishi doesn't work, the GameStar doesn't work. So it's like they're specifically locking it out. There's even a third-party PlayStation 4 remote play app you can buy that lets you use these kinds of like mobile controllers. So it's like Sony's got a weird proprietary issue with them.
Oh, weird. That's interesting. Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe it's to sell people on remote play. I don't know. But, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of interesting. At the very least, I do like these kinds of controllers. And to have a more trusted name like PlayStation out there, maybe more people will buy them. It'll expand the market a little.
Yeah, I'd like to see their kind of remote play stuff come into more. Like, I'd like to see a PlayStation Now, because, you know, that's already all streaming. That'd be cool if that was available on mobile.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that it isn't. I mean, I guess you can remote play to your PS5 and then connect that to PS Now if you have good enough internet.
You can't, actually.
Oh, really? You can't remote play PS Now?
No, remote play will disable if you try to stream a game. So you can PS Now download to your PS5 and then stream it to your phone via remote play. But if you try to play like a PS3 game that's stream only, it'll cut out and say, no, you can't do that. Stop. I've tried it on both my Vita and my phone. It cuts it out and says, this is not allowed. Stop that.
Wow, that's really weird.
It's so janky. You'd think PlayStation would try because you always see Xbox xCloud, Xbox Game Pass, play from your phone. Oh my gosh, isn't this rad? And then PlayStation's just like, teehee, use DualShock 4 only. Exclusively. So, I mean, if they're patenting a controller, maybe they're trying to bolster their mobile setup, which would be cool.
But then that would also imply that a lot of it would be locked behind their own mobile controller, which is lame.
Yeah, the long shock. Yeah, definitely not my favorite controller.
No, and this is just a patent. I mean, companies patent things all the time and it never goes anywhere, but I don't know. It's an interesting one. I'm curious to see what happens with this.
Yeah, it's more exciting to see the potential rather than the patent.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's all we got.
Long shock.
You proud of that one?
It's pretty good, bro. I'm very proud.
The long shock is upsetting. Don't worry about it. Yeah. All right. I think that's everything I've got. Are you done?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Bye, everyone.